Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And we actually have a very special guest today. Her name is Sydney. She's a librarian who's visiting us all the way from San Diego, California. And she was brave enough to volunteer to come on our show. So say a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Hi. So I don't know. I grew up in LA, moved to San Diego. I currently work at the UC San Diego Geisel Library, and I'm really excited to be here to talk about.
And you brought a book that I'm really excited to hear about, Kafka on the Shore.
It's one of my favorites, yes, by Haruki Murakami, and it's amazing. It has cats, my favorite.
So tell us a little bit about the book, about his style, which is pretty unique.
Yeah, it definitely is. So this book's plot is, every book he writes has really bizarre, unique plots, but this one's really cool. It's kind of an interweaving of two stories, a young teenager who's run away from home, his name is Kafka, and a kind of older gentleman who can talk to cats, and his name is Nakata.
That sounds like an amazing superpower.
Yeah, I would definitely love to have that superpower.
Goals.
Goals. I think all the odd number chapters are about Kafka and all the even number chapters are about Nakata, and then their stories kind of like intersect, but they never really meet, which is,
exactly.
It's really interesting and really cool because their lives affect each other, but they have no idea.
That's cool.
It's so cool. Yeah, it really is. And in terms of writing style, Murakami is like so poetic and so lyrical. When you're reading, it's like it could be music, you know? It's just so beautiful. And it's really bizarre because sometimes I'm reading and he's like pretty famous for this, but he puts stuff in his books that are seemingly useless. So he'll describe, for example, like a cooking scene, and he'll say, like, she cut up these vegetables really thin into these slices and then did exactly this and this and this, and it's like two pages about cooking that has nothing to do with the book. But it was like so beautiful to read, but when you're done, you're like, well.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I love his style. I love reading like the way he writes. And I wish I could read it in Japanese, like without translations, because I imagine that would be much more authentic. But it's sad I can't read Japanese.
I always feel that way about any translation. Like there is something that's going to get lost
exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah. But,
and it sounds like a lot of the language comes through, but there's still just like a level of poetry to the Japanese language that you just can't even like translate, I imagine.
And this is not the first book by him you've read, right?
No, definitely not. I've read Norwegian Wood, Hard-Boiled Wonderland, and The End of the World. And 1Q84 is one of my favorites, but it's three books. I think they publish it as one now, and it's humongous.
That's the first one that I wanted to pick up by him, and I think it kind of intimidated me out of it because it was so big.
And the audiobook is completely nuts. So
that book is really, really weird. I think one of the weirdest he's ever written because it was one of his latest works, and people have been saying that he's been getting crazier and crazier. Like, I mean, next book.
Life goals.
I know. So that one's really weird, but also really good. Should read it.
What kind of reader would you recommend this book to?
I think I see a lot of like occurring themes in this book are psychoanalysis, relationships, sexuality, and magical realism is really a big part of his book. So maybe like if you like sci-fi or fantasy but want to dial it down and like imagine how that would be in an everyday world, those types of readers would really enjoy this book. But I think because a lot of his books just take place in like the real world and deal with relationships and like emotional kind of landscapes, just any general reader. It seems like a very general, like you could just pick it up and get into it. So it doesn't have to be a specific, you know.
But probably somebody who's patient. I mean, if there's going to be like two pages describing cutting vegetables.
I know. Yeah, definitely patience. A lot of people complain that there are like really slow parts of the book. So you got to have that perseverance to push through.
Yes.
I've always joked
appreciation
that,
of language.
Oh, I've always joked that it doesn't matter what the book is about. As long as it's written pretty, I'm going to enjoy it. So.
Same. I think the same way, like if the words are beautiful, I'm like, oh my god,
this I don't even care what he's writing about.
Yes.
Okay, so unless there's anything else you'd like to add about the book, we can go ahead and get into our game show portion. We're gonna put in some,
I don't know, what kind of music do you think should go with this?
Some Japanese inspired music. Okay. We'll find it. said you weren't sure about casting the main characters.
No, I'm not. Because if this were a movie, I don't want to whitewash it because they're all definitely Asian characters. But I just unfortunately don't know that many Asian actors.
Which we can blame Hollywood for.
Here's the question I have. How many cats were in there?
Oh yes. My God. Wait,
okay. We can cast the cats.
We can see what kind of cats. There's a tortoise shell in here, and her name is Goma, and I have a tortie as well, so maybe my tortie could be. But I don't want to cast her because this isn't. It might. No, spoiler.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you read this book for the experience.
Yes, yeah. That's true. So Goma dies, so I don't know if I want to cast my cat as Goma.
That was my burning question. I didn't know how well treated the cats were.
Mm. Oh gosh. There's actually, the cats in this book are really, really, it's sad. So there were a lot of tears shed. If you love cats, it will hit home. Like
sometimes I think it's more emotionally impactful when it happens to an animal than
to a person in books. Yeah. Because there are a lot of like mystery thriller books where like people just die and like serial killers left and right, and you're like reading it.
that's sad.
In terms of how many cats, there are at least five cats.
At least five
with
cats.
With names. Who talk.
Interesting. Cool. That's exciting.
Yes. There are more unnamed cats. So there are tons and tons of cats in this book.
See, that one might go on my to read.
You should.
It's going to go on like every librarian's to read list.
Like, honestly. Oh, there's cats? Okay.
Yes. It's amazing. I love it. It's actually funny. Haruki Murakami has a thing where like he puts cats in almost every single one of his novels. Mm-hmm. And they're not always as prevalent as in this one. But I have a chart of like all of Murakami's books, and it tells you how many cats are in each book.
Like the level of cat.
Exactly. There's like a little cat icon, and it's green, yellow, and red. And red is a lot of cats, and green is less cats.
I think they did that wrong. I think red should be no cats, and then green should be a lot of cats.
That's true.
Either way, I need to see this graphic. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Yeah,
it's not just for cats as well. It tells you the, if you're new to Murakami, which books are easiest to like get you into his writing style, and which books have recurring characters that carry through. Oh. And so it's kind of like an overall, like.
Which actually, let me go ahead and ask that, because I've always wanted to try some of his works, but I never have. Mm-hmm. Where would you think a good starting place would be?
I think the best starting place for Murakami is Norwegian Wood. Okay. Because like I said before, he's been getting crazier and crazier with each book he publishes. But Norwegian Wood was one of his first novel length, because he did write short stories as well. But Norwegian Wood was one of his first novel length, like full length novels. And it's easy to digest. Nothing really weird happens like in his later books. It's all about the characters, about the emotion. And he has that really beautiful lyrical style that starts there and it carries on. So that one's awesome.
Okay. Which I know that style would win me over. So.
Yeah. Yes. And that's good for the listeners to know. So if they want to know where to start.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to get to our rapid-fire questions. We're going to ask you five questions, and we ask for little to no explanation of the answers. Okay. Leslie?
Is there a romantic subplot in the book?
Yes.
What kind of house does the main character live in?
He doesn't live in a house. He spends all of his time in a library.
What?
Best kind of house there is. Yeah. Okay. What food would you pair with this book?
Ramen.
Fair good choice.
He eats it a lot. I mean, the main character, so.
What was the emotional tone of the story?
Melancholic.
Were there any descriptions in this particular book that stood out to you?
The way they describe the soul.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at the end, we usually do a random quote, but we did notice you had a lot of underlined portions of the book. So if you have one that's your favorite, you can definitely share it with us.
So this quote, but still, no matter how much time passes, no matter who takes place in the interim, there are some things we can never assign to oblivion, memories we can never rub away. They remain with us forever, like a touchstone.
Very nice. Good example of his
writing, I think. Yeah, like I had chills. That was really cool.
Oh, so good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, I had so much fun talking about this book. You should read it. Cats, you know.
There's cats. There's
the biggest selling point.
There's ramen.
It is.
All right. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.